It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, zooming in from his home once again. And Daniel, that is how you do all your counseling these days, is online.
And thankfully that works out for a lot of people, because it sure cuts down on the road, the travel, and for a lot of times when I had appointments after work, or just sometimes anytime during the day, went down Seattle and having to drive through traffic, but particularly after work, getting off work a little bit tired, and then. I really did not function well if I was going to an appointment before dinner or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it always worked well for me, and I hope it works well for people just to be able to not worry about heading in, trying to find an office and going through traffic and finding a babysitter and all this kind of stuff, but just to be able to, you know, bring it up and talk from the comfort of their
own. Well, people do a lot of their medical things now with telemedicine and stuff, so it's very much a convenient way to share information, share counseling. And again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for details on how to connect with Daniel. Lots of previous episodes, including last week's episode, we got into a discussion of AI. And you're concerned about AI's effect on mental health and society, and so we're going to continue to get into this subject.
Yeah, well, when you think of AI, the way most people think of AI, counseling is almost seems to be like a slam dunk. I mean, why would you pay a lot of money for counseling when you could just open up AI and say, "I'm depressed. What should I do about it?" And it will come up with these ideas.
Right.
But there's some problems with AI, and last week we talked about that. Foley Adu and Sycophany. Foley Adu being kind of like a shared delusion, and how that AI, when you interact with AI, it's designed to remember because it's largely a marketing tool, and so it's designed to remember your preferences and your responses, and it kind of you know, there's this feedback loop.
Kind of an echo chamber.
Yeah, a friend of mine was suggesting an article that he had read called, I think it was, "Is AI Getting Dumber?" Or AI is Getting Dumber, something like that. And kind of one of the points in the article was that AI is becoming more narcissistic and even sociopathic. But I think what's going on is it's a feedback loop, because AI is, you know, when you interact with AI, you're just putting more information in the feedback loop. And so AI is actually reflecting our society. It's not, and we've got to remember, it's not intelligence. It's artificial intelligence. Like artificial sugar is not really sugar. Artificial butter is not really butter. Artificial intelligence is not really intelligence. It's a feedback loop. Largely, there's nothing in artificial intelligence that hasn't been put there by a human. It's not intelligent.
But it is a vast well of information that it can draw on.
It's virtually all the information that's out there.
Yeah.
But it keeps getting larger, and it keeps getting more. Well, they talk about personalizing your AI chat, your preference, and there are some big ones. Out front, and then there are some AI assistants, they call them, that are more geared towards scientific, mathematical, different things like that. But when you get away from the what I would call the objective and quantitative disciplines, like 2 and 2 is 4, and scientific research and things like that. When you start to get toward the more subjective and the critical thinking, there's a real serious downside to AI. I was looking at this one article, and I think the name of this article was "Is AI Making Us Dumb?" But some interesting things that came out, and I researched 319 workers, and this article had mostly to do with the working environment. But I pulled some things out of it. One was the more workers tapped AI for help, the less critical thinking they did. Mm. Okay, less critical thinking you have to do. This is a study for their notes that reliance on AI changed the way workers interact with critical thinking facilities. They shift their focus toward information verification, response integration, and task stewardship, which is good for the bottom line. It gets the work done if you're like working for a company, and it's production is the bottom line, and so AI works well there. But the other thing was conversely, the people that they surveyed leaned more on their mental facilities. If they leaned more on their mental facilities, the more critical thinking they had to do. Yeah, that makes sense. AI tools appear to reduce, this was interesting, reduce the perceived effort required for critical thinking. So if I use AI, I can get into the kind of a delusion that critical thinking is not really that difficult because I'm not doing that much of it. I'm using AI. The effort for critical thinking seemed less, especially when there was a higher confidence in AI. On the other hand, workers that were more confident in their own critical thinking skills perceived a greater effort in tasks having to do with AI. So basically it was people that rely on their own critical thinking and have confidence in their own critical thinking seem to have difficulty working with AI, whereas people that lean on AI feel that their critical thinking isn't that difficult. Well, they're not really using it. The more people using AI critical thinking tools were more likely to produce less diverse set of outcomes for the same task. Hmm. So the more they relied on AI, the less capable they were of producing diverse outcomes for the same task. By mechanizing, I guess that's the way I should be reading that,
right.
Mechanizing routine tasks and leaving exceptional handling for human users, you deprive the human users of routine opportunities to practice their judgment and strengthen their cognitive musculature, leaving them atrophied, and unprepared when exceptions do arise. So they use AI for everything except exceptional deep critical thinking, but by mechanizing all the routine tasks through AI, you rob the user of those routine opportunities to practice their judgment and strengthen their cognitive muscular functioning.
Yeah, and being able to really learn a subject and perform. My wife is running into this, of all things, with her piano lessons and her music lessons. Yeah, a lot of kids just feel like they should just be able to play by absorbing things and by, watching things on YouTube. And they're getting away from the disciplines of practice and following a prescribed procedure. They just feel like they should be able to just play. And and it's just it's terrible. And kids who follow the program, follow instruction, really work things out with their mind and their and the kinds of things that she's asking him to do, those kids progress. But the ones who feel like they should just learn it through osmosis, she finds that it's almost maybe not an AI issue, but it's more of a video game issue. Kids feel like they're used to going to the next level, quote, in like a video game by playing around with it, and they should just automatically go to the next level. Well, that doesn't transcribe to piano. You don't just go to the next level of piano because you solved a video game. So there's something going on even with the way kids learn.
Well, it is associated with AI because AI is just taking that same principle to the next level because it's a kind of a cognitive or a belief that you can just push and play,
yeah,
or plug and play,
right?
Memorize the buttons, but behind that, the machine is doing all the work,
right?
And so last week I said that had that almost quotable. I guess I will quote it. The more we rely on thinking tools, the less work our brain has to do. The less work our brain does, loses the capability of doing work. Mm. The more we rely on think tools, the less work our brains do. The less work our brains will be capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we talked about last week, this folia du, which was the shared delusion, where people, and this is has more to do with the sociology and psychology and people that look to AI as, you know, you can kind of be pulled into this as though this AI chat that you're using is understands you more than your friends. And so that leads to isolation and dementia. I mean, we need human relationships. And that's one of the things that I see kind of disappearing, not just AI, but this trend toward intelligent machines and mechanism and materialism. And, even when we go to church, and I do it too, I take my cell phone because I don't lug my big Bible. I take my cell phone, and that way I can look up the interlinear, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice that a lot of people don't even bother to be doing that. They're just looking at whatever the pastor puts up on the screen.
Right.
They're going to read that. And it's with the song service. It's with the sermon. And I was moderating a men's group, a small men's group at the church. And I was surprised that, when I was younger and still would, whenever you go to a Bible study class or something like that, you would take your Bible or you would at least take something to write on. But some of these young people come in just in their tennis shoes and T-shirts and no books, no nothing to write with or anything like that. And it's kind of, like you said, learning by osmosis.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
you can only kind of fake it for so long on some of that stuff. So, we're kind of forgetting how to actually improve and how to – I mean, I don't think athletes can quite get to this yet. You can't just through osmosis become a good athlete. You have to
get out there and break a sweat.
Yeah. Right. Well, hey, talking about AI, the effects on learning and mental health with Daniel this week. If you have needs for counseling, even though it's online, Daniel is really there and he would really like to talk to you and help you through whatever you're going through. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, people contact me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find quite a few years of podcasts. So 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of this discussion on AI and talking about an interesting new book from John Lennox, and how it maybe AI applies to even end times things. So we're going to make quite a leap there as we return with more of the Sound Mind broadcast.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the subject of AI with Daniel this week. Not just a kind of a cursory interest in this subject, it is really affecting all of our lives, particularly the way we learn, the way we seek counsel. Even sometimes. And Daniel, have you noticed this in your own practice that people are going to AI or kind of self-diagnosing before they even talk to you because something they've read on online?
Well, it's probably, I've always had some of that, people self-diagnosing. or having been to other counselors, or and got a diagnosis, or but it's certainly is more so now because people treat AI as kind of a final word.
Mm.
I was going to make a comment here too, and I forget where I read this. It might have been in one of Mary Graybar's books, Defunking Howard Zinn, possibly. It might have been that one. But the author was talking about a very deliberate plan to control large groups of people. And one of the, or the most established method was to first cause confusion. And so, and just kind of flood the culture with confusing voices, different opinions. Mm. And what this will do is it'll make people so insecure, they don't know what to believe, they don't know what to turn to. And then you introduce one voice. And at that point, it doesn't really matter what it says. People will go to that one voice because it's better than the confusion.
Mm.
And when you look at what AI has done and what our where the cultures have been going, I'm not saying that AI was done this was way intentionally, although it's certainly evident that it's been used that way.
Well, it's the logical outcome because we have come through a time, and there is even right now a great effort to censor opinions, censor you know, different opinions on things, making it a crime to talk about certain subjects. So there is there's kind of a good kind of pushback on this,
mm-hmm.
but in some ways, like you say, if the zone is flooded with what is really misinformation and confusion,
mm-hmm.
it does kind of overwhelm people, and they do. They just want to hear, just tell me the truth.
And I think that's what the internet has been doing for increasingly.
Yes.
And the social media platforms have been doing increasingly. And the point is that I think there's some intentionality behind it on the minds of some people. I think I'm thinking of China, that is so tech savvy, and they seem to be able to get in anywhere.
Yeah, but not in their own country. They're spreading it out to cultures that are quote free, but not their own. Their own media is very controlled.
Yeah. And so, you know, marketing companies are using AI in a way that there's, you know, when you click on the, well, there's one link that you people use us when they can click summarize with AI, doing papers or researchers or marketing research and things like that. And the URL will come up after to the chat, but the URL will have like a pre-filled prompt, usually like a question mark prompt equal or a question mark Q equal. And in that prompt, there will be an instruction to remember the company, the brand, the website. So it's designed to kind of learn your appetites or your and then, but then once it does that, and it remembers those things, it can also then be, can remember certain things and have, and draw preferences on certain things. And then it can begin to turn back on you and start to influence you. And marketers know that. They know that. And so there, and there are actual programs, this one article was talking about, there are actual programs, what they call turnkey tools that exist to generate AI bias. So anybody can embed, anybody that knows anything about this, I'm not one of them. You don't have to be, I'm not a tech savvy guy, but in our, these new generations, they are tech savvy, and just about anybody could manipulate prompts into web sites or even into emails.
Mm.
So it does have that way of that back is sort of a feedback loop where it begins to influence the culture. Now I was we were talking about John Lennox's book.
Yeah, what's the title of the book?
God, AI, and the End of History, and
yeah, it's pretty ominous.
And then the subtitle is Understanding the Book of Revelation in the Age of Intelligent Machines.
Mm.
And it really, now I'm reading the book, and I've found that I have to approach it like a study of Revelation, and I can't be, it's not a book about AI. But as you were saying, Mark, you saw an interview where he does get deeper into that, but it's a big, thick book, and it's a deep read. But one of the things that I have gleaned out of it in my reading of it so far is that the whole idea of juxtaposing the book of Revelation, which is entirely spiritual, and there's meaning behind the words, and then juxtaposing that with something like AI, where I'm letting AI do all the thinking, and it's not spiritual, it's very material. And it just kind of, I've just jotted down some notes here where have we been heading? We've been heading as a world, as civilization, increasingly from the spiritual to the material. Mm. And we're in it now, up to the top of our heads. Mm. We prefer morality over righteousness. That is, we don't really want to know. It was like the children of Israel. They didn't want to know God. They just preferred that he give them a short list of do's and don'ts.
Right.
That'll be good enough. We don't want to work at a relationship. Just give us the... And that's really the whole thing behind Facebook friends and those kinds of things. Now, just there's a certain etiquette, friendship etiquette, things you can say, things you can't say. And this isn't like getting to know people where you produce the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't like getting to know people in the body of Christ. This is like we're becoming more distant, less human. Our relationships are really is where our humanness is like explored, discovered, amplified, those kinds of
things. And you really only get those relationships with real people, not idealized versions of things through online stuff and social media where people are putting forward their best image and it's not the real person.
Yeah. And we were talking about how the less you use your critical thinking, the less your brain will be capable of critical thinking. And it's the same with our relationships. As we grow more distant, we've talked in other shows about your personality getting smaller and, less, you know, when you don't trust people, you lose the ability to trust people. Your personality actually shrinks, and your beliefs about your safety and security become more narrowed. And so then there's nothing left but Facebook friends, which aren't really friends. So, and that's what the body of Christ is. To me, is more than just where you go collectively in a building. It's, you know, the body of Christ, and it's not just kind of an afterthought. Well, we have Christ, we have a lot of believers. Hey, let's call ourselves the body of Christ. It's not a club. It's something that is an eternal and spiritual. This is the paradigm shift. The body of Christ isn't just physical. It's primarily, it's spiritual. The physical is just the training camp. Mm. It's kind of the hazmat suits or the diapers until we learn how to behave spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to put a cap on this discussion on AI and turn it into and talk about positive, I would say I use AI if I want to know, is there a formula for... the momentum of, a dropping egg or something. I might check AI and see what they say rather than dig deep into some scientific research. But anything that requires any kind of critical thinking, or whether that's sociology, psychology, philosophy, anything like that, I'm not going to trust AI because it's a feedback loop. And I'm going to doing inventory in my life about how are my relationships? Am I drawing closer to people? Because and primarily in the body of Christ, but that's reflected in other relationships. But how am I in the body of Christ? What do I do at church? You know, do I really get to know people at church, or do I just sit in a pew and go through the routines and then go home and turn on the TV? so many of these churches now are like watching TV because everything's on the screen. Yeah. That's sad. But, you know, do we get to know people personally, really get to know them? Even in the home groups, do we get to know people? Are we getting closer? Are we just putting in our time? Mm. So I think that's an important thing. There's a lot more to our Christian walk, but that seems to be one direction to go. We don't want to be isolated. We don't want to just sit in front of the computer or the TV and use things like social media or artificial intelligence as our kind of our touchstone. We want real personalities, real people in our lives and growing, spiritually. And
This is something, one of the definite trademarks you've noticed in mental health problems is isolation is a big problem. Yeah. And that's what all this stuff feeds. So big subject. And again, the book that we mentioned, John Lennox, God, AI, and the End of History, kind of a deep book, but interesting ideas that are put forth in that. People need help with real counseling, real people, and real changes. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, where there are, I believe, approaching 15 years of radio podcasts. So that's BibleBasedCounselor.com. People can email me through that. And again, the phone number is 425-778-6169.
Okay, great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.